You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. With Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. I hope you're having a great Friday. We are live from the West Coast here, Los Angeles, on the world's most listened to talk radio station, LA Talk Radio. And today I have a great show, as I usually do. Got a lot of listeners' questions I'm going to be answering. If you'd like to call in live here on the show, you can do so. As I said, we're in Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world. So the number here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. If you'd like to talk about anything going on with you, as we do, usually I try to give some advice, suggestions, ideas based on my expertise. And we can go from there. Also, what I'll be doing today is a free-for-all Friday where I answer listeners' questions you guys wrote me here at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle with two L's at aol.com. And a lot of these questions have to do with relationships. Now, there are some other personal questions having to do with just self-esteem and sexual orientation, confusion, things like that. But we do have a lot of relationship questions. That's one of my specialties. I do work with people who have relationship issues, along with depression and anxiety, like I said, self-esteem. And it all sort of comes together in life. We all have problems. We all have issues. It's really the way we cope with them that makes or breaks our mental state, basically. And also, some of us are chemically predisposed, truly. We inherit depression. We inherit anxiety sometimes. Sometimes bipolar disorder is what they call genetically loaded. That means there's a much higher rate of inheritance. But, you know, there's different things we do sometimes inherit. And we have to say, you know what? Okay, it's just like, it's not a stigma. It's just like maybe inheriting diabetes from a parent. High blood pressure, things like that. So what we do sometimes in this world is we manage it with medications. I'm not a big medication pusher myself, personally. I try to work on thoughts and behaviors and actions, and also a little psychodynamic. But I think it's really important that we do try to get our chemicals, which sometimes we don't have complete control of, you know, managed. So that's where I'm at. Just a little bit of information for you. I usually tell you this kind of stuff. And I'm going to be answering a question a little bit later about, I am working on a book. And it's called Detoxing from the Drama in Your Relationships. And it is all about chemicals and what happens to us. And we do become addicted to certain highly emotional issues with people. Why do you keep going into the same relationships over and over? It's familiar. Your chemicals in your brain are familiar with that feeling, and you got to have that rush of emotions. Many times they're bad. The people who do a lot better and have higher coping skills, many times that rush is good because it's positive, and it's positive thinking, and it's the way of coping with issues in our lives. All righty, if you'd like to call in once again, the number here on LA Talk Radio, at 323-203-0815. And you are on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. Let's get started, by the way. And once again, if you would like to comment about any of the emails you've heard today or my suggestions, and if you'd also like to help some of the listeners who've written me, I'd love to hear from you. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL.com. You can just click onto that link from the webpage here on LATalkRadio.com. So let's get rocking. And I have a lot of emails today to get to. So we're going to try to cover as many as we can. I've already contacted you and asked you who wrote me out there if I could help you on the air. You said, please, yes, do. I will not identify you by your real name, so nobody will have a clue nor where you are contacting me from. So it's very anonymous that way. Here we go. I'm going to start off from a very interesting email from Amy. I have not encountered an email like this ever. And that's okay. There's no judgment. It's just a fascinating situation, so I thought I'd start off with this. It says, Dear Doc, about a year ago, I fell in love with another woman. And this is, by the way, from Amy. Okay? The feelings I had were reciprocated, and we started an affair. Initially, our feelings were very strong, and we considered leaving our husbands. But our children and career within our community made us really slow down and reevaluate the situation. However, it's difficult, and we have continued having an affair. What's interesting is we've actually all met up as a foursome. Our husbands get along, and we have all spent a weekend away together. The problem is that our love has evolved. We both adore one another, and the feelings of pleasure we derive are indescribable. Okay, can people like us continue in our marriages and continue to share sexual relationships? Can we grab these pleasures for the rest of our lives? Do some other couples succeed, or are we living in dreamland? I thank you so much for writing me, Amy. You know, it sounds here like you have a lesbian affair right now going on, and you're married, and you have a couple of kids from the notes here. So does she, apparently, with her husband. And here's the deal. From clinical experience, I think in the long run, it's going to be almost impossible for the two of you to continue a passionate relationship, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual, and keep successful marriages going. Really. I mean, think about it. All the stories that you've heard before, Amy, all the things you've heard me talk about and other people writing me and calling me about their problems, the odds are is something's going to go awry before really a long time. I mean, just shortly from now. It could happen tomorrow. If you guys decide to go have a fling this weekend, it's going to be really, you're cutting it a little too close there. So I think the two of you should prepare for a big blow up in case you get busted. In particular, you should try and protect your kids from the effects of any such explosion. You got to protect the kids. Come on now. This is deception. You're deceiving your husbands. You're deceiving your life mate. You're deceiving your children. It's just like having an affair with anyone else. I don't care who it is. I really don't care that you're so in love and it's so passionate and you derive wonderful sexual pleasure. Don't make any drastic changes. I would really cut the affair off. This is not healthy for anybody. You know, this is going to harm other people. This is really awfully difficult. I know. And when passions are running high, it's really difficult. And I don't know what ages your children are, but my gut feeling is that you and your lover should try to remain in your marriages. Give your kids the best security possible. Try to work things out with your husband. You know, if you're having sexual problems with your husband, go see a therapist and work that out. If you're having, you know, there must be some kind of sexual or communication problems where you feel like you have to stray and escape from this marriage to where you'd have an affair with another woman or man. Or whatever. There's no judgment here on your sexual orientation or preferences. It's cool. It's just that you're having an affair on your husband and your children. and it's secretive. And what really creeps me out about this, Amy, see, you guys, you and your husband, and she, your lover, and her husband, all get along. And you guys have actually gone away on a weekend together with this facade. Now, that's really creepy to me, that you guys are out at some vacation home or condo or hotel or whatever, and you're with your husbands and kids and pretending and putting on this big facade like, hey, here's two families. We all get along and we're having a great time. Well, you and the other wife, you know, are doing the nasty secretively. That kind of creeps me out. It's very deceptive. What's going on with you where you have to feel that you can get away with something like this? I would really go see a professional on your own. This would devastate your husband, not to mention the kids. Don't blow this thing up. Don't let yourself get busted. Are you wanting to get hurt? Are you wanting to hurt them? Think about all these things. Doesn't sound like you are particularly, but you know it happens eventually. If you keep pursuing this passion and this love that you have, you're living two lives. You can't do it. And she's living two lives. Think about her husband, who you say you are fond of and your husband's fond of, and then her kids. It ain't right. It is an affair. If you want to ruin two families, go for it. That's what you're going to do. You need to get some help. You need to try to resolve some kind of an issue. You need to talk about the possibility of maybe divorce. Let's say that you were really unhappy with your husband. You wanted to get a divorce, which I would highly go against. But let's say you wanted to do that. So you went to an attorney, you did the whole thing, you got a divorce. She may still not want a divorce. So here you, as a divorced woman with kids and a husband, would still be having an affair with a woman who's married. It's just, you got to think these things through. Take it slow. Get some psychological help with a specialist in your area. And maybe go to couples counseling as well. All right? I really want you to think about these things. I appreciate you writing me, Amy, and being so candid about this. There's no judgment, except for the fact that I'm not one for having affairs. So close to home as well. That's scary. All right. This is Dr. Michelle with you. I hope I helped you out a little bit. And if you'd like to email me, you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com. Ask me a question about whatever. If you're having issues, thoughts, self-esteem problems, little depression, anxiety, you can find me at docmichelle@aol.com. I'll be happy to get back to you. And if you'd like me to answer your problem, question on the air, I can do so. By the way, we don't have a therapeutic relationship per se. What I'm doing here is just giving you advice based on my expertise, suggestions, and that's a disclaimer. This is LATalkRadio.com, and you can call me as well if you'd like. You want to give me some input about some of the listeners' questions, my advice, give them advice as well. Or if you have your own issues, you can call 323, that's Los Angeles here on the West Coast, 323-203-0815. So we're going to move on to the next email I received from DocMichelle@AOL.com. And here we go. Dear Doc, I just wanted to know if you had advice for a broken heart. My girlfriend was such an awesome, beautiful person that I can't stop loving her. She just decided one day that she was falling out of love with me, and she had feelings for another guy. I know I have a lot to learn about love and life, but I was so sure that she was the girl that would be my wife someday. How can I accept that she doesn't love me and move on with my life? How can I ever let myself love again? I just don't understand why all this happened. If you have any advice at all, it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Danny. In parentheses, I'm 18. All righty, Danny. Thank you so much for emailing me. I appreciate it. It's so nice to hear what's going on with you. And I'm really sorry that you have a broken heart. I mean, it's one of the toughest things we have to endure as a young adult. It really is. And you're only 18. I can assure you, honestly, Danny, honestly, things are going to look quite different in a couple of years. Maybe less. All right. It's not easy coping with a broken heart. I sometimes think that nothing in life is ever so painful again as the loss of your first love. It really is very difficult. And that's what you're finding out, you know. I'm so sorry you're having to go through this. It's tough. And here's the thing I want you to really think about. I know you're in pain and you're engulfed in this suffering. You're dealing with this stuff right now. But chances of the relationship working are pretty poor. You know, look, she's going to grow up. You're going to grow up. You're going to move on. Right? That's the thing. I expect you know that it's pretty unusual for people to stay through life with their first love. At the time when we're in love and everything's wonderful, but our hearts are broken, we all think it's different. It's going to be different. I could have had that person in my life forever and ever and ever. You need time to recover, Danny. And then you need some time to get back out there, meet lots of lovely ladies who will mean a great deal to you. But first, you got to recover. And this is harder for guys usually than it is for women, believe it or not. Why? Why do you think it's harder for guys? Well, it's because as women, we lean on our best friends and cry our souls out. We call our friends to talk no matter what time of day or night. If we're heartbroken, we'll call our friends up. We'll text them. Well, oh God, I'm suffering. We'll email, whatever. Guys don't do that. Usually. Yet they should. I think it'd be a really good thing for them to do that. But there must be people in your life who you can trust to talk about exactly how you're feeling. You know? And being only 18, I imagine that a lot of your friends are girls. I mean, you know, the cool thing nowadays is a lot of guys have friends who are girls. And that's the way it is. It's really neat. So, you know, you might have some support from other male friends too. And you know how guys are. Oh, you don't need her. She did you wrong. She's bad news. That bitch, you know. Guys, you get some support, but you get a little more tender support from women. So treat yourself with kindness and try to take on board that being able to love very deeply, the fact that you were very deeply in love, that's such a good thing. It means that you're going to have love again. You've had the feeling, you know what it feels like. You are able to do so and you will do it again. That's what's positive. I always try to find the silver lining. I always try to find the positive there in a situation. Because there is. If you really look at it, there really is. Nobody's going to replace your first love, but you're going to find that you can have equally satisfying and wonderful experiences with other women. You will. So try right now to do a lot of stuff for you that you really like. Whatever, go to concerts, enjoy music, go to films, go to movies, hang out with other friends, start dating maybe if you feel like it. Just go out and get around some people, laugh a little bit, you know? Because getting over a broken heart is a lot easier when you're self-indulgent and you're taking care of yourself. That does not mean go get high. I'm not saying that. Don't go get drunk. You know, don't do that. You have a bad hangover and it makes you more depressed. It does. So, I mean, that's the deal. So take good care of yourself, Danny. I appreciate you writing me. This will get better. Trust me, trust me. You sound like a lovely man. And the fact that you can fall in love so deeply, wow, you're a good catch. Enjoy yourself and take good care of yourself, okay? All right. This is Dr. Michelle, and I thank you so much for emailing me. You can do so if you have a question or comment or whatever. We're doing this free-for-all Friday today, where I am catching up and answering a lot of listeners' questions who emailed me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle with two L's at aol.com. If you'd like to call in today, you can do so. If you have any problems of your own, questions and suggestions for some of the listeners, I'm really open to hearing what you would have to say or give some advice to some of these listeners as well, because everybody has great input. Everybody. We're always open to it here. 323-203-0815. All right, we're moving on here. Dear Doc, I met someone through the internet about 2 years ago. We hit it off right away, and there's something that just clicks with us. The problem is, I'm married and have a young child. Okay, the guy I met online is married and he travels a lot. We've tried and tried to keep away from each other online, but somehow after 2 to 3 weeks of parting, we usually pull together and start communicating again online. We've not met because it would end up in an affair. We are not Skyping. I've now walked away again knowing it's right, but how can I stop myself from pulling him towards him again, rather? The feeling to do that is there again, and I'm sure it will be for him too. We speak so well together and communicate. He's my breath of fresh air. Please help me. Thanks, Ariel. You met somebody through the internet 2 years ago. You've been communicating with this person. I assume that your husband has no idea. Of course, you have a young child, so they probably don't know. I hope your husband doesn't know. You didn't mention here that he has any idea and that he hasn't confronted you with it. So you've managed to get away with this. And you say you haven't met because it would probably end up in an affair. Good for you. Because you're thinking that would propel you both into an affair. But you've got to think about this, Ariel, that maybe, and here's the thing, in real life, the attraction would not exist. You know, it's so easy to communicate via online and be really stimulated with someone and be excited and think, oh, this person's so bright. But you don't know what he looks like. I mean, I'm sure you've sent pictures. You don't know if those are real pictures, current. But you need the sight. You need the touch. You need the smell. You need the tone of voice. They're all absent on the internet. They can't be ignored in reality. So there's always the possibility that if you guys really were to meet, that may end the attraction. And on the other hand, you are wise to write me because this could be dangerous. It's always possible that, you know, the attraction would increase. You know, and unfortunately, you together possibly with him can make this decision. And if everything is hunky-dory at home, you both have to look at your current relationships. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to end this internet affair, which I think you should, it would be really a good time for both of you, he and you, to invest more time and more love and more emotions in your real lives. You got to treat your feelings for this man as a form of addiction. This is how I want you to kind of look at it. It's kind of your little addiction to... It's a fantasy world. You know what I'm saying? This may mean that if you're going to actually cut it off, you may need to change your email address. You may need to change your phone number. You know, I don't know how you've gotten away with this for 2 years behind your husband's back, but it's possible. These sorts of tasks are a nuisance and inconvenient. They do show that you mean business, though. You know, if you cut everything off, you mean business. No BS. So, you know, what I'm saying is I think it's a really good idea to just pull back. You know, it's very difficult. Just like giving up drinking or smoking, it'll be really hard because you're so used to, oh, I'm going to talk to my friend online or I'm going to call if you have been talking to him on the phone, whatever. But day by day, you're going to go stronger. You're going to gradually care much less. And what you need to do is firmly throw yourself into your current marriage or your job or into some other kind of activity. Because it's really clear that this relationship, it's going to be an emotional void if you end it. You keep going back to this person. You're in a fantasy world. You're in a complete fantasy world. You don't know really how this person is. Really, really. They sound wonderful and they're talking the talk. And even 2 years of online, you don't really know what this person is about. This is why I urge people to make sure that if they're single, they go about this carefully if they want to meet someone online. If they're married, forget about it. Just work on your marriage. If you're not happy in your marriage, try to make it work. Figure out what's wrong. Go get some therapy, honey. work this out. Why are you going into a fantasy world when you're married and have a young child? What are you doing there? Come on. Get a girlfriend to talk to. What is it about this guy that's making you feel so special about yourself that your husband's not giving you? You need to analyze that. Talk to a therapist. They may suggest to you that you need some couple therapy because you're going behind your husband's back. You're being deceptive. It's not okay. How would you feel if he did that to you? You wouldn't like it, would you? Nope. Always put yourself in the place of the other person. How would you feel? That would hurt like hell. All right? Yes. To answer your question, yes. Cut off this relationship online that you're having with this guy. Whatever it takes, be honest. Be honest. If he keeps pestering you, change your number. Change your... whatever, your email address. Change it. I imagine you've given him every way to contact you possible. You may have to change those things if he won't cut it. Because it could really bring up some problems for you in your marriage. Seriously. Do you want to lose that? Get some help, girl. Find out why you want to live in a fantasy world. It ain't real. Okay. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are at this time, Fridays. It's 11 in the morning. Right now, it's about 26 after the hour. We're Pacific Standard Time, of course, on the West Coast. And if you'd like to call me, you can do so. It's a Los Angeles area code, 323-203-0815. And you can email me as well. You can write me, as all of my listeners have done today, about their questions, problems, advice, answers they may need, things like that. And it's DocMichelle@AOL.com. I am available for free on iTunes at the iTunes Store. On Talk Radio, LATalkRadio.com, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Or, of course, you can go to the LA Talk Radio website here page and download or play any show live if you'd like. Again, that went live. All right, here we go. We're moving on. And if you want to, by the way, comment and give some help to some of the listeners, please do write me again at DrMichelle@AOL.com because I will share your suggestions as well to help these people out. And by the way, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving some advice, suggestions, ideas of my opinion. All right, we're moving on. I have a question from Shana. That's a beautiful name. And let's rock. My husband has been having an affair for a considerable time, and so have I. It all came to a head last year when we agreed to give up our partners and attempt to make the marriage work. However, not very long after this, I started seeing my boyfriend again. And although he has never admitted it, I know my husband is seeing the other woman again and is aware of my infidelity. The thing is, we seem to be getting along better than we have for years. But this can't be right. I do love my husband, and I don't want him to leave, and he says he loves me. But the void in my life would be too big if I gave up my other partner. I think my husband also feels the same. I feel as if we're not solving the problems in our marriage, which are obviously some. What do you think? And this is from Shauna again. Thank you so much for emailing me here, Shauna, and I appreciate, you know, you being so open with me. And I'm sorry you're in this dilemma. It's a tough place to be. The problem is this kind of arrangement sounds pretty risky. You see, it's pretty risky. Open marriages like this, with a husband and wife each having other lovers, you know, it's kind of really common. It was like back in the 70s. It was like a 70s thing. Or I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I actually was young in the 70s. I was quite young. But, you know, you heard about all this, the free love thing, and they're much rarer now. You know, the consciousness of the country's changed. The main reason why these open marriages became less common was that so many of them ran into trouble. I mean, that was the thing. It seemed like free love and, hey, we can agree to have other affairs and all that. There was emotional trouble. There was jealousy. Despite this free love, everything's cool. You can have an affair and I can have my affair and then we can come back and have our love and have a wonderful family and life will be good. It doesn't usually work. And what was happening was there was the HIV scare, which really started happening, I guess, in the late 70s and the 80s. There was unwanted pregnancies. There was, really complicating life. And, of course, affecting life. So having said all that, in complex relationships like this, somebody usually gets hurt. You know? It may be either that of the two other people, they may start pressing for more of a full-time relationship, your boyfriend or his girlfriend or whatever. It may be that one of you will end the other relationship, and then it's going to be really tough if your husband, let's say you end the relationship with your guy, and he decides to choose to keep his relationship. What if you have problems with this guy, or vice versa? He says, you know what, I'm done. I have problems with this lady. She's getting too heavy on me, and there's too much pressure. I'm going to end it. And then you continue having an affair with your boyfriend. That's not good. It's really impossible to say what's going to happen to you, but there's no doubt a small minority of people manage what you're doing well. Not well, but they manage it. It goes on for a number of years. I've heard it 4 years in my therapy sessions with people. And I always ask people, are you both really happy? Are you really happy? I can't quite believe that you are, because if you were, you'd have no reason to be writing me. I think you need to really examine how you feel. I mean, you say, we're so happy. We both have an affair, and yet we both are cool with being with each other. Really? There's something going on. And it seems to me that you have a number of problems. You know? So here's the deal. Either you go on as you are, and you hope it doesn't get out of hand, right? Or both of you give up the other people. You have to do this together. You have to really try to work the marriage, I think. You know, the two of you need to be completely honest with each other. Come out and talk to each other. What's the deal? What's going on? Come on. And I don't think it's happening right now. I think he's still with his girl. He hasn't told me, but he kind of suspects I'm with my lover. Come on now. Just go see a therapist. Get together and get some relationship therapy. If you want the marriage, keep it. This usually doesn't work. It's not all that cool and easy to do. You see what I'm saying? Okay. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and this is a free-for-all Friday, as I do have many times on LA Talk Radio, where I answer a lot of the listeners' questions, your questions. You've written me here at docmichelle@aol.com, and I'm just kind of responding to you on the air. I usually contact you and make sure that you are anonymous, where you live, your name, and what happens is I try to help you out on the air. What I also get is feedback from the listeners online on how to help you and what they would suggest as well, and I really welcome that because it's always nice. Everybody always has good ideas. Some people don't, but that's okay. Some people have their own issues, and they respond very angrily to what some of these people are writing me, what you write about having an affair. Some people have experienced the pain of an affair before, and they write me, and they say, how dare this woman have an affair on her husband? He's a good man, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, but it's good to get it out. That's what I'm saying, basically. So you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com. I encourage that. I'd love to hear from you. And you can call me live if you'd like to. I really am focusing on answering the listeners' emails today. But if you'd like to call here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, you can do so at 323-203-0815 on LA Talk Radio. Alrighty, let's move on to a really good one. All right, this is a really interesting one. We have a lot of relationship infidelity going on here. And questions and fears and problems. All right, here we go. This one comes from Lisa. Dear Doc, help. I have no children by my husband of 12 years. Wow. I'm 40 years old, and I now suspect I'm pregnant by my lover. My husband would like to start a family, but we have sex very rarely, and I don't feel that I truly love him. However, we have a very good lifestyle. And could live a good home and upbringing and could give a good home, I'm sorry, and upbringing to a child. Due to the lack of a physical relationship, I recently took a lover. However, I also had sex with my husband for the first time in about half a year. And afterwards, several days later, I felt I might be pregnant. However, a week later, I had sex with my lover without protection. And I don't know whether or not to take the morning after pill. You think? The problem is that my lover is African American and my husband is white. I've already had one miscarriage and an abortion with a previous lover, and I really don't want to have another abortion, especially at my age. I would actually quite like to start a family, but I'm terrified of my husband's reaction if I have a baby that he knows is not his. Well, truly, if you have an African American baby, your husband's going to know it's not his because you say that you are Caucasian, as is your husband. So you're in a pickle. Lisa, you got yourself in real trouble. Now, look, I understand that you and your husband don't have sexual relations, and you haven't for a long time, and you are frustrated, so you took a lover. I get all that. But the first step is that you try to make the marriage work and find ways to make the sexual pleasure better. That's where you made your first mistake right there. And you've already had another lover before this guy and had an abortion and miscarriages. Didn't you learn? Did you learn from the first one? Not. And here you go with the second one. All right, I know you're in pain. I know you're having a rough time. But come on, girl. Why do you set yourself up? You're 40 years old. You want to have a child? That's fine. You got to come clean with your husband. Oh, my God. You need some face-to-face counseling from a doctor or a counselor. Like today. You know? Call them up today. Is there somebody at your internist's practice or general practitioner's practice where you could go? If not, I think you should go to your family planning clinic. It might be a good alternative if there's like a Planned Parenthood near you. I don't know where you're writing me from. And I note that you're 40, so your fertility may not be quite what it was. So you said that you had sex with your husband, and now it's been more than 72 hours. And so that means it's too late for you to take the morning after pill. That's why it's called the morning after pill. If more than 5 days have elapsed, it's too late for the after sex coil. You know about that one too, right? You've heard of that one? You're probably going to have to wait and see whether you get your period. I mean, that's there you go. That's the bottom line. If it doesn't, do a pregnancy test. I would strongly advise you against trying to palm off a lover's baby on your husband. Come on. Come on. Your husband is African American. Hello? What? It's really cruel to a child. You got to be careful. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know if you're, but you got to have a test. You're jumping the gun here. But at least you're thinking ahead for this moment. And if this crisis gets over with, you handle this, you work through it, you're not pregnant, you decide whatever you're going to do, you've got to look at where your marriage is going. You're not sure whether you love your husband. You're not having sexual relations with him. But here you say, which really bothers me, we have a very good lifestyle. What are you, a gold digger? What the hell? You like your lifestyle? But you can go out and have affairs on your husband. And see, here's the thing that really bothers me too. You're 40 years old. You should have learned this when you were 14. You've had unprotected sex with your current lover. What does this tell you? Why are you flirting with danger with various lovers? Why are you doing this? Are you self-destructive? Yeah? You think? I don't know. And what's the real state of your marriage when you're reluctant to get pregnant with your husband? I mean, I think this crisis happened because you've been uneasy about your marriage. I really want you to sort this out and feel better, but you need to take some action. It's too late for all that stuff. It's too late for the morning after pill, obviously. It's too late for that coil, the after sex coil that can help sometimes if you're... You've already had a miscarriage and abortion from a previous lover. Get wise. Work on this marriage or get out of it. You're going to have to decide something. If this baby is your lover's baby, hey, you're busted. You choose to have the baby. Hello? The baby will be a different race. And you can't hide it. You need some help, girl. You got to get to a therapist. You really do. I know you're going through a rough time. And it's hurt. It's hurting you. And it's scaring you. You're not careful. You're not careful. I have no judgment about any kind of, I don't care who you're with, an African-American guy, a Chinese guy, Latino guy, I don't care who you're with. I mean, I want you to have a loving relationship, but he's having an affair with you on your husband. This is the second time you've gotten, maybe, pregnant with a lover. You've been with your husband because you enjoy your lifestyle? Come on. I really hope you're not pregnant. I really do. Because then you can really focus on yourself and get some counseling. And possibly, if you're not happy, get out of the marriage. Or if you are, decide to stay in it because you're in it for the lifestyle and that's it. You're deceiving your husband. I really feel bad for the pickle you're in right now, and I know it's difficult, but you really need to get some help. If you want to rebuild your relationship with your husband, go to a sex counselor. Rebuild it. Get a little communication going on. Okay? If you want to be with your lover, so be it. That's fine. But get a divorce. Separate. All righty. There you go. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are at this time. We're on the West Coast here, so it is about 17 to the hour Pacific Standard Time, noon. And I'm answering your emails, as I usually do, on a free-for-all Friday. If you'd like to chime in and respond to helping some of these other listeners, do so. DocMichelle@AOL.com. Love to hear from you. Or if you have some other issues or problems you'd like to talk about, just let me know, and we'll help you out. And I really do want to, urge you to know that we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving advice, suggestions, ideas. I do take advice also from listeners. And the good stuff I keep, I put it out there. All righty, we're going to move on. And this is a really good one. I really like this one. Dear Doc, I'm a male and in my mid-20s. I would describe myself as an extroverted, healthy, good-looking guy who has actually everything he needs to be happy. That's wonderful. Where's the but? Here it is. But there's one problem. I can't handle emotional relationships. I'm very peaceful and nice in my normal day-to-day life in work. But in relationships, I'm very jealous and paranoid. I always fear that a girl is cheating on me. This turns me often into anger and aggression. Oh boy, I've even hit the girls in my first three relationships. I'm not sure if I ever really loved a girl or woman. Somehow it seems that I'm always just getting obsessed with the emotional partner. I start thinking about her permanently and wind up by myself. I have thoughts that she might do something that I fear, cheating on me. This obviously destroys every relationship. In the first three relationships I had, I wasn't conscious about my problem, and with anger and aggression, I basically changed their whole personality to make sure I had control over them. Somehow I needed to possess them and control them. Well, yeah, you're abusive. Since I'm trying to work on myself, I haven't hit anyone anymore. Well, good. I should have made a police report on you. My behavior makes them leave pretty soon. good that they leave you. This has put me into three depressions of about 1 to 2 months in the last 2 years. After going to a therapist for 3 months, I tried to make everything better. I met a new girl. I told her right away that I'm difficult, but she really didn't understand. And after just 3 weeks, she left me because I accused her of being with somebody else. And I accused her of being on drugs. When I am so suspicious, I can't decide between paranoia and reality, and what can I do? Well, that's the problem. You know, when you're such a suspicious person, you got a lot of problems here, guy. You have major trust issues. You have low self-esteem. I don't know what's gone on in your past. And I'm so sorry. It sounds like you've had a really bad past. Who betrayed you? Who lied to you that made you paranoid of relationships? So paranoid. Who in your life when you were young betrayed you, lied to you, and made you so angry or modeled abusive behavior in front of you to where you had to hit women because of your anger and paranoia of them cheating on you? Who modeled that for you? I want you to think about who did this to you, Jeff. Now, I'm not saying who did this to you and it's all their fault. I'm saying you're a man and you have to take responsibility. And that's probably why you're writing me, and I appreciate that. You got to stop or you're going to get busted if you decide to hit someone else. I don't know if you want to really go to jail. You have to manage that anger. Stay in therapy, please. 3 months. You went to therapy and tried a new relationship. You did the right thing in getting some psychological help. It just does kind of bother me that you were only in treatment for 3 months. You know, you've got to get into treatment and stay in treatment. You got to stay once, twice a week. You got to work through this anger management stuff. There's a book. It's called, it's a really good one. It's called Mind Over Mood. It's by Greenberger and Podesky. And it's by Guilford Press. They really have really good psychological books. And it has lots of exercise in it. You can use it as a tandem book with your therapy. You know, you can learn from it. You can do it. And there's another book that I think that's pretty good. It's like Managing Anger. Any kind of online website about helping you therapeutic with managing anger or get an anger management book. There's a book by Gail Lindenfield. It's called Managing Anger. It's a HarperCollins publisher. And the hopeful thing is that you really do have the will to change. You've reached out to me. You started going to therapy. You want to tackle your problem in all these different ways. You will change. You've got to work through these anger and betrayal feelings, though. Who did this to you? Who made you feel so paranoid that you can't trust women and have the right to control them and hit them? What are you so afraid of? That they're going to completely abandon you? Who made you feel this way in your life? You can't go around living your life like this. You will never have a relationship with a healthy person. You may get someone who has codependent personality disorder that likes to be smacked around and is like a little puppy. That's not love. You've got to learn how to love and care for and have a conscience within yourself as well. There's going to be a rough road for you, because if you have this much anger and fear of abandonment and jealousy and paranoia, you know, you're going to have rough days. You're going to feel disheartened. You're not going to feel good. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep to it. I've worked with many people who have anger management issues. If they work through it, work through the program, you can learn how to manage your anger. You can learn how to control what you say and what you do and your actions and behaviors. You have to stick to it. Continue with your therapy once or twice weekly. I mean, what do you want for your life? At least you're examining your behavior, and I really appreciate it. But you go right into being paranoid and jealous about other women when you get into relationships. Don't do that. Get help. Do not get into another relationship for a very long time. Hold back. Get support from friends, too. Get some support from friends. Be honest with your friends that you're going through anger management, that you're going through therapy. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. You don't have to be a bully to get your way with people. It'll help you in your relationships and your future, and may keep you out of jail, especially if you're smacking around women and controlling them. And I thank you for writing me. All right, this is Dr. Michelle, and I hope I helped you all out there on Free for All Friday. You've been on the couch with me. It's about that time to leave. I appreciate you writing me at DrMichelle@AOL.com, my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. And, of course, I'm on iTunes. You can download lots of relationship shows if you'd like, as well on LATalkRadio.com, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Have a great day. And as I usually do say, do take care of yourself first. Not narcissistic. That way you'll be good for others. See? Have a good one, and I'll be back next Friday for you. All right. Bye-bye now.